We're at verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. In 1945, the United Nations was established, and one of its primary goals was to maintain global peace, to try to facilitate harmony between nations. Because war was so natural to the human condition, there was the feeling we needed something that would help orchestrate peace around the world. The United Nations sends in peacekeeping forces to help mediate and mitigate between conflicts that occur between nations. Peace is hard to come by. In the nearly 4,000 years of recorded human history, there have been only 268 years where there was no war. So war is normal. But war is not only normal for nations, it's normal for many of us. Some of us are at war with ourselves. In fact, we're at war with the three people, me, myself, and I, and can't none of them get along with each other. Internal conflict, battling within yourself. You've got your own personal civil war, you fighting you. Then there is domestic wars, where mates, rather than being married by the Justice of the Peace, look like they were married by the Secretary of War. Because every day is a new fight, a new battle. And while everything looked like it was going to be good before you got married, 1 hour after the honeymoon, it became apparent I just walked into a war zone because of the perpetual conflict. There is other kind of relational conflict, parents and children. Some of you are in a war zone at work. Conflict with supervisor or manager, employee, or coworker. Then, of course, there are the social wars, racial conflict that goes on for centuries between groups, whether it's black or white, those polar ends, or other kinds of racial conflicts. Then there are social conflicts due to class, the rich in battling the poor, or vice versa. It's personality conflicts, a war of personalities. Political conflict. It looks like everywhere you turn around, there's a war. And you kind of get afraid when there's peace, because you know it won't last long. Because there's a war waiting to happen around the corner of your life. Yet we find in this scripture a blessing. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. What is a peacemaker? It's a person who makes peace. What is peace? Peace is harmony where conflict used to exist. Peace is where harmony has replaced conflict. Now, let's get this straight. Peace is more than a truce. Because you can stop physically fighting but still live in a cold war. Some people think they have peace because they're not talking to each other. That's just a cold war. That's not peace. The United States and the Soviet Union weren't launching missiles at each other during the Cold War, but they weren't talking either. So some people are satisfied with a Cold War, thinking it's peace. No, just because you stop shooting doesn't mean you stop fighting. Let me tell you what peacemaking is. Peacemaking is resolving conflicts with the truth by exposing and addressing the sin, leading to a right relationship being established with the combatants. To be a peacemaker is to be someone who, rather than running from the conflict, faces the conflict, but he does it with the truth. And he does it, or she does it, by exposing and addressing the sin that has led to the conflict, resulting in a right relationship between the combatants. That's what a peacemaker does. A peacemaker is more than a peacekeeper. It's more than just somebody standing between two folks and say, don't fight. I'm going to stay in the middle so I can keep the peace. It means resolving the reason for the conflict so that when you step back, the combatants can still now get along because there's been real resolution to the problem. Peace must always accompany righteousness. You cannot have peace if righteousness is not included in the discussion. I love the way Psalm 85 and 10 says it. It says, righteousness and peace have kissed one another. The malleables, the lips of righteousness and the lips of peace have connected, producing the necessary result. Or Hebrews 12, verse 14, which says, pursue peace with the sanctification, the righteousness, without which no one will see the Lord. Go with peace, but you've got to accompany it with sanctification, that is, with the righteous requirements of God, if you're going to have harmony where you have a war. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, that created conflict. Conflict with God, conflict with one another, conflict with nature. In other words, the conflict was the result of a sin. And until sin is addressed, the conflict is not permanently fixed. It may be covered over, camouflaged, or the like. Peace is a bridge, and on the two sides of the bridge are truth and righteousness. The Bible condemns anybody who calls peace, peace, when there really is no peace, because they're not dealing with the truth of the fact. You're just making it sound like it's peace. You must have truth and righteousness if you're going to have peace. On yesterday, many of you ladies went to the beautician and got some perms. You went to the beautician to get some stuff straight. Some stuff that had rolled up on you. Needed to get straight. So you went to the beautician to get a perm to straighten stuff out. When you went to get your perm to straighten some stuff out that had got a little crooked, there was a conditioner put on your hair with a neutralizing agent in it. I know what I'm talking about. There was a conditioner put on your hair with a neutralizing agent in it. Now, the purpose of the neutralizing agent was to keep the perm from doing chemical damage to your hair. In other words, if the perm is left in there and not neutralized, that which is designed to straighten out, it's going to mess up and take out. So they had to neutralize it with this agent so that serious damage did not continue. A peacemaker comes on the scene to neutralize the conflict so that further damage is not allowed to occur. You get illustrations from wherever you can. To be a peacemaker is to be one who is involved in creating harmony where there is conflict, okay? He says there is a blessing to being a peacemaker. What is the blessing? If you decide to become a peacemaker, and I know what you're saying, you know, how do you do that? We're going to explain in a moment. But let me tell you the blessing of becoming a peacemaker. He said, they shall be called the sons of God. When a person becomes a peacemaker rather than a troublemaker, because a lot of folk love to be troublemakers when they should be peacemakers. It says, they shall be called the sons of God. Now, please don't misread that. He didn't say they will be the sons of God. He says they will be called the sons of God. The key word here is called. See, you could be a son of God or a daughter of God and not be a peacemaker. You could be a son of God, a daughter of God. In other words, you could be a real Christian and still be a troublemaker. You could be a real Christian and still be a gossip. You could be a real Christian and still tear things down that you ought to be building up. So his concern here is not the fact that you're a Christian. That's being assumed by the fact he's talking to his disciples, that he's talking to Christians. He's talking now about what you're called. What does he mean by called? Well, to say somebody was the son of something was to reflect on their character. For example, Barnabas is called the son of consolation because he comforted people. Judas is called the son of perdition because of his judgment due to turning in Jesus Christ. When you call somebody the son of a gun, you're talking about they are the child of a volatile parent. In other words, you're speaking of the character that they have taken on based on the influence, the parental or that which is synonymous to a parental influence in their life, they have a derivative of that characteristic. You and I are children of God if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. But that does not mean you reflect the character of your daddy. But to the peacemaker, he will be called the Son of God because he or she is reflecting the character of their father. The Bible declares that God is a God of peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Christmas season is peace on earth, goodwill to men. The Bible says, Jesus told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you." When you read the New Testament books, many of them are introduced by the word, "peace be to you." So the question is, how can we have all this truth about God being peace and we be in so much strife, war, conflict, fighting on whatever level it happens to exist in our lives, particularly when it is connected with other Christians? He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called or recognized to be sons of God because they are reflecting the character of their dad, who is a God of peace. Which means that when you're not a peacemaker, you don't look like your daddy in heaven. When you are fermenting that which does not contribute to peace, when you are contributing to conflict, you don't reflect the character of the Father, so you're not called a son of God, even though you might be a son of God. And if you're not called a son of God, that means you're not recognized to be such. You might legally be such, but God doesn't recognize you as such. And people who are in line with God don't recognize you as such either, because you can't be called a son of God because you're not acting like a son of God, because you're not making peace, you're fermenting war. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the Son of God. You say, well, what difference does it make whether or not somebody calls me the Son of God? Whether somebody recognizes me as the Son of God, as long as I know I'm the Son of God. Well, to be called the Son of God is the recognition you share the character of God which result in you having access to God. You see, the reason why you want to be called the Son of God is because you want to have access to the God who calls you that. Let me put it another way. If God can't call you his son or daughter because you're not acting like his son or daughter, because you're not a peacemaker, then you lose the access that sons and daughters have who are in sync with daddy. If you're not in sync with daddy and he can't call you a son, that means you don't have the same access to daddy as somebody he can call a son whom he's proud of. Blessed are the peacemakers. The Bible says, listen, the devil's agenda is to create conflict. It is in his best interest to create conflict. Why? Because he knows God is the God of peace and God is the God of unity. So he creates conflict in order to separate and cause there to be a breach in our fellowship with God. That's why there's so many one another's in scripture as to how believers ought to relate to one another. It's not just so we can all get along. It's so that we can have access to the Father. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, it says the believers were all there in one accord. If Jesus were living today, he'd drive a Honda because his people were in one accord. They were in harmony with one another. And the Bible says, because they were in harmony with one another, the Spirit moved in a supernatural way, doing supernatural things among the people because they were not functioning in conflict, they were functioning in harmony. The Bible says that a husband, 1 Peter 3:7, cannot go to God in prayer if he's in conflict with his wife because God won't listen to his prayer. He's not called the Son of God. That's why the devil wants to stir things up in the house. He's not just after you not getting along. He's after stopping you from having access as children of God to heaven because he can't call you his son because you're not a peacemaker. You're a conflict contributor. Over and over again, this issue of God working in the midst of his people, Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20, says when two of you or three of you agree, you're on the same page, you're operating in harmony rather than in conflict, it says Jesus is in the middle of you. He comes down and takes his place in the center place where the agreement is. So it is in the devil's interest to break up the agreement so that you're not peacemakers, so that you can't be called the Son of God, so that God can't respond to your desires and requests. So some of us are actually blocking the movement of God in our lives for 1 week, 1 month, 12 months, 12 years, and we keep doing it because we live in conflict. Our life is a war zone. And it's due to a refusal to be a peacemaker. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the sons of God. A peacemaker carries a powerful testimony of the power of God. We were, every November, the elders meet to plan for the new year. We had a big issue on the table related to our direction, and I made a presentation and we entered into a discussion about the issue. After some time entering into different perspectives and different orientations and getting everybody's input, we came to an agreement about how we would approach it, and the agreement was on one accord. While there were different perspectives in the discussion, when the discussion ended, we were all on the same page about the direction. While there were different viewpoints that went back and forth, when it was all over, we were walking out as one. From the time it took me from the hotel where we were meeting to get back to the church, when I got back to the church at the end of that meeting where we had agreed, the answer to the discussion was already here at the church. It arrived while we were meeting to get on one accord. While we were meeting to get on one accord, God sent the answer about the agreement that we made about being on one accord, and it was sitting here waiting upon the right. When I got back, I got the message, this is what happened about what we agreed on, and what happened was exactly what we agreed on. God honored the unity, came in the midst, and addressed the issue because it was done in peace. That's why God wants church fights and church splits and church. He wants that because he knows God won't show up. Because he can't call that church made up of his sons and daughters. There may be sons and daughters. He just doesn't want to associate with them. He doesn't want to call them his sons and daughters. In terms of his interface with them in history, it has to do with being called. Many of you remember the true story of a man outside of the White House in the mid-1800s sitting on a park bench, and he was crying, he was crying, he was crying. A little boy came up to him and said, "What's wrong, sir?" The man told him, "I got this big family issue that only the president can solve, but they won't let me go in to see the president." The little boy took him by the hand and said, "Follow me." He walked past the guard, past the inner guard, walked to the Oval Office. He said, "This man wants to talk to you, Dad." President Lincoln said, "Thank you, son. My son brought you here. Have a seat." In other words, when he could call him his son, that gave him access. They shall be called the sons of God. So this thing of being a peacemaker is critical to divine recognition of your son or daughtership, which is critical to your access. Answered prayer, hearing from heaven, watching God solve problems before you arrive. Then folk will call you the son of God because you obviously got a connection they don't have. So that question should lead to one other question. How do then I become a peacemaker so I can be called a son of God so I can experience the access? All right, now we're gonna join the Delphonics. Didn't I blow your mind this time? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now watch this, because we're going to throw you a curveball here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross. By it having put to death the enmity, he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have our access," remember I just talked about access, "in one spirit to the" who? "Father," which means you're a son or daughter. So son or daughter is tied to access. Access engages the Holy Spirit so that you can enjoy the peace that Jesus came to give you. But how do you get to the peace? He says the way you get to the peace, watch this now, is by the blood of Christ. Now stick with me now, don't leave me. You say, "Well, what's that got to do with me fighting with me fighting with my mate, me fighting with my coworkers?" It has everything to do with it. He says the way Jesus gives peace is through the cross. But wait a minute. The cross, the blood of Christ, is a place of judgment. That's a place where judgment took place. The cross is a painful place. The cross is a hurtful place. The cross is a place where there's nails in your hand and a spear in your side and blood is gushing out your body. The cross is a nasty place. See, the cross isn't a pretty place. At the cross, you don't say, can't we all get along? At the cross, you don't say, bygones gonna be bygones, peace at any cost. You don't say that at the cross. At the cross, judgment is occurring. But what is being judged at the cross? Sin is being judged at the cross. The reason why the cross is nasty and ugly and bloody is because at the cross, sin is being addressed and judged. But because of the blood shed by Jesus at the cross, sin got judged so peace could be offered. The only reason you and I as Christians have peace with God is because of a nasty, bloody cross. That nasty, bloody cross that crucified our Savior, thus judging our sin, opened the door for peace with God. Guess what? The same blood that solved the problem of us having peace with God solves the problem of us having peace from God so that we can have peace with others. It's the same blood. Why? Because the same blood that judged sin on Calvary is the very same blood that judged sins today. It is because we leave the blood on the cross 2,000 years ago and don't apply the blood today in the 21st century that we live in a war zone rather than in a peace zone because we do not allow the blood to address the sin because that's the only thing the blood addresses. The blood doesn't address personality. The blood doesn't address racial color. The blood doesn't address how much money you make. The blood doesn't address what kind of clothes you wear. What the blood addresses is sin. So if you're going to be a peacemaker, you must be willing to get bloodied through the addressing of sin so the blood of Christ can bring about the peace that you want to happen. If you're not willing to address the sin, then you're not willing to fix the conflict. It is only in addressing the sin that you address the conflict. So what people want to do is they want to skip the cross part, but get the peace part. You can't get the peace part without the blood part. Jesus had to die to bring about peace. You have to deal with the same thing that Jesus died for, sin, in order to bring about the peace. The problem is people don't want to deal with the sin. Well, if you don't want to deal with the sin, you can't have the peace. You can't have the peace. And some of us are in conflict with mainly ourselves. It just shows up in how we treat everybody else. That's what James 1 says. James 1 says, why are y'all fighting each other? He says, the reason y'all are fighting each other is because you can't get along with yourself. He says, you got a civil war operating within you and you taking it about out around everybody around you. Parents know what this is like because you messed up, somebody messed you up at work and you come home and you terrorize the rest of the family. Not because they deserve it, it's because you all jacked up inside and so you taking it out on everybody else. He says, the reason why there's a lot of conflict among you is that we're messed up inside. So the first place we got to get peace is with ourselves. By being willing to address what the blood of Christ addresses in us, and that is the sin within us. The Bible says, Isaiah 48:28, there is no peace for the wicked. When sin is unwilling to be addressed, you can forget having peace. And you can spend the rest of your life as a Christian in perpetual conflict because of an unwillingness to recognize and address. Look, the greatest person in your life is the person who helps you see your sin and then walks you in through the reconciliation process. That's the greatest person in your life. Instead of saying, they all up in my business, say, are they helping me to see my sin? Because if they are, they ought to be in your business because they're leading you to peace. The peace that you want, but it only comes this way. It's got to come by the blood of Christ. That's the only way it can happen. You have a checkbook, you get a bank statement, and the two don't agree. Houston, we have a problem. My checkbook is saying one thing. The bank statement is saying another thing. So what do we have to do? We need a reconciliation. You know, the only way to get that reconciliation is to find out where the problem is. Because you can't reconcile until you identify why these two numbers aren't the same. Where is the error? It's usually not with the bank. Where is the error? That bank ain't doing right by my money. No, before you just cast blame, let's check things out and find the error so that we can bring about the reconciliation. What you don't do is say it'll all work out. No, you don't skip finding the error if you really want to reconcile the account. You've got to find the error in order that you might reconcile the account. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. In this world, you will have tribulation. You're going to run into conflict. As long as you're on earth, you're going to have conflict." Some people will leave a church and say, well, there's too much conflict in that church. Well, the new church just got new conflict when you joined it. In this world, you're going to have family conflict. You're going to have a personal conflict. It comes with living here. Okay? But he says, be of good cheer. Don't worry about it, even though you can't get away from it, because I have overcome the world. Earlier this morning, it was raining. Some people came from their cars and they got wet. Why? Because it was raining and they couldn't overcome the rain, so they got wet making their way from the car to the church. But other people during the rain came through the same rain but did not get wet, because overcoming the rain was an umbrella. The umbrella hovered over them, provided a covering for them without changing the circumstances around them, but the circumstances around them did not affect them because they were overcoming it with something that was over top of them. While you will have tribulation in the world, if you're willing to be a peacemaker God's way, it won't stop stuff from being around you, but it'll stop the stuff from being around you from overcoming you, because you got something over you that's covering you. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. I know a lot of you are like me. I am a mayonnaise guy. I'm not a mustard guy, okay? I will send the sandwich back if it has mustard on it. And I didn't know it in advance. I will send it back because I'm a mayonnaise kind of guy. I give a pass to a hot dog. That's the only thing that gets a mustard pass. Other than that, I am a mayonnaise type of guy. Now, mayonnaise, or to be sadiddy, a mayonnaise, is really a product that operates in contradiction. You see, because mayonnaise is funnily made up of oil and water. And oil and water do not agree. Oil and water can't get along. Oil and water can't maintain fellowship. No matter how much you stir oil and water together, they're going to retract and go back to their old world, because oil and water don't like each other. Oil and water don't know how to function together in the same space. And no matter what you do, oil and water just does not work. You can't force it because it's not natural. And to try to make it happen won't work. Some of you are in situations of oil and water. And you've tried everything you can to make this thing work, and it keeps just jumping back to where it was. No matter how much energy and effort, because you're trying to make this thing work, and it just won't work. Well, mayonnaise is fundamentally oil and water. The problem is oil and water can't get along. So guess what the makers of mayonnaise did? They created an emulsifier. Now, an emulsifier is something that takes two opposing objects, pulls them together so that they can relate in a way that they could not relate on their own. So in order to have mayonnaise, you got oil and you got water, but you have the emulsifier of eggs. They put eggs in mayonnaise. Egg reaches out and grabs oil. Egg reaches out and grabs water. Egg pulls oil and water together, thickens them up so you and I can eat some sandwiches. Eggs reach out and they emulsify oil and water, causing that which is totally different to be able to get along. When it comes to your conflicts, no matter whatever they are, the blood of Jesus Christ reaches out on one side. The blood of Jesus Christ reaches out on another side, pulling together that which could not normally get along. The blood of Jesus Christ in your conflict is your emulsifier if you're willing to deal with the sin that is causing the separation. The blood works today. Alfred Nobel, Swedish physicist, created dynamite. His intentions were awesome when he created dynamite. He wanted to create an explosive that you could move rock to build roads and get things out of the way to build buildings. He wanted to create a force that was powerful, that would make life better. The problem is, people took his creation and used it for destructive purposes, to kill people, to make war. So depressed did Mr. Nobel get that his good invention was being used in a wrong, destructive way, that he took $9 million, put it in an account, and began to award people for promoting peace. We call it the Nobel Peace Prize. What motivated him was the fact that what he intended was being used wrong. And he wanted to award those who were doing what his intentions were. And when they get the award, they become known as Nobel Peace Prize winners. They become internationally known because they're called by that name. And they're called by that name because they made peace. They didn't make war. God is looking for some Nobel Peace Prize winners, some folks he can bless and award, because instead of making war, they're making peace using his method, the blood of Christ, to do that. May this church be full of winners who God calls sons and daughters of God.